Okay, Rabbi said, today's daf is daf Kuf Dalid. We're holding the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. Says the Mishnah, HaMekabel Soda Mechaveray. Person that was Mekabel. Mekabel, as we know, typically means that he becomes an Oris, that he is a sharecropper and he takes upon himself a field from his Chaver. Remember we had, Rashi said yesterday that Mekabel can mean both Arisus and Chakirus. Arisus is a sharecropper, he gets the Mechsel Shush Verabia, while the Chakirus means a person who goes and has a specific fixed lease payment that he pays per month or per year towards the owner of the field to have the benefit of working the field and getting the crops and produce from the field. Anyway, what the word Mekabel over here means, we'll see in the Gemara shortly.
It's a Chakir, no?
So we'll see Mitch in the Gemara in a moment, whether we're talking about Chakirus, Arisus, or both. Anyway, I'm a Mekabel Sada Mechaber, a person in Mekabel Sada, the Beis HaShlochem. It turns out that this field is a Beis HaShlochem. Beis HaShlochem means that it requires irrigation. It's not enough just the rainwater. But the good news is that this property itself comes with its own irrigation system in the sense that it has its own mayon, its own well that produces water. Oy Beis HaIlan, or someone took upon himself somebody else's field to go and work the field and produce and all the rest. And the good news is that it has some ilonis, it has some trees in that field. Why would a person want to take one of these two fields? In the case of the Beis HaShlochem, Baruch Hashem, it has its own well. He doesn't have to go and schlep all the way to the river and bring buckets full and schlep it back and forth. It's a machai if it has its own well. Or Beis HaIlan. Beis HaIlan is a major fringe benefit because the work that he does is only vis-a-vis the vegetables and the tfua that are growing in the field. However, he'll also get the benefit of the payers from the Elon. And therefore, that's a nice fringe benefit that you throw in. Says our Mishnah, what happens if after he started working in the Beis HaShlochem and the Beis HaIlan, Yovish Amayon, that well unfortunately dried out. Or Niktas HaIlan, or the Elon got cut down. So he loses those two major benefits that he was looking forward to. So he thinks to himself, since the only reason why it took this field was because of this great benefit. Now it doesn't have a benefit, you know what? I'm going to go and give less on the chakiris, that is on the amount of monthly or yearly payments. He cannot do that because he didn't specify in advance in the lease agreement that the reason why he was taking it at this particular price was because of the fact that it has its mayan or its ilan. The agreement was silent. However, im omalei chakor li soda beis hashlochen zu, or he saw the beis ilan zeh, if the machker, which means the owner, says to the choker, says to the farmer, I want you to go and please be the farmer for this field for the next year or two or whatever, and good news, this field has a beis hashlochen. In other words, it has its own resource in terms of a well. Or Soda Beis HaIlan, it has this additional fringe benefit. You'll be able to go and get some figs, some dates from the tree. What happens now? If he made that statement, Chakor li Soda Beis HaShlochem zu, Soda Beis HaIlan ze, then Yov Shamayim Niktas HaIlan Menakalim Chakura, then he can renegotiate the price and reduce the amount of payment that has to be made.
In other words, it has to be explicit, not implicit.
Correct, it has to be explicit. But it doesn't say explicitly that the reason why he's taking it is because there is a well and or a tree. It's just the fact that it says in the contract, Chakor li Soda Beis HaShlochem zu, or Soda Beis HaIlan ze. What difference does that make? We'll see Mechem in the Gemara shortly. Tu pshatim, the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. Frank Timur, hey Chidami. Could you please explain what the situation is when you tell me that the well has dried out? Yavish amai. Hey, Chedam, ilim in the Yavish Nahar Rabba, are we talking about that this well was fed from a big river, a river that was the river for the entire community, and that river has dried out because there's a drought, and therefore nobody has the benefit of flowing water? Why can't you go and reduce the amount of the chakiras? Why don't you go and say, it's not my fault, it's not Maslach Karam, not your fault, The whole Medina is Nebuch suffering because this Nahar Rabbah has dried out. And Rashi points out that in Yetshim we're going to learn in another couple of days that a Makabel Sodom Mechaveroi, the Ochla Chogov Oinishtefa in Makas Medina, he Menachem in Chakiris. If this happens to be a general blight, a general problem of locusts for the entire community, then all the choikrim have a right to go and get a discount on their original rate. It's nothing to do with him personally. It's based on the general community has Nebuch this Makas Medina.
I think the other way around. Yeah. I'm not responsible for that calamity. I'm not
it's an act of God clause in contracts, right?
Mm-hmm. you can always put in those types of clause to negate this type of halach.
Now, I could turn around the logic and say that there's no reason to the dog because
everybody's getting suffering.
The renter is not guilty. It's a calamity. So he rented it without conditions. If this comes, you take insurance. That's your problem.
I'm with you.
I could turn this logic around.
I hear you loud and clear.
No insurance in those years, and he doesn't have it. The people are poor and starving. So what's he supposed to do? There's a Makas Medina, and there's a gentleman, it's a social thing. If people don't have the food, they don't have the wealth to pay, and there's no insurance policy, so what do? Let them starve? You make them pay, what are they, sell them into slavery? What can you do?
So, bottom line is, this is not today's Sugya, Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Kufay, which is the second day of Yom Tov, Mitzvah, then I assume the Gemara will address the issues that you are raising. But the point is, there is a Mishnah deck on Kufay Amit Beis, Rashi quotes it, two lines from the bottom, that if you're Makabel, and afterwards, V'achla Kogav, there are grasshoppers, locusts, a Nishtava, Nishtava means a blight, a flood, whatever. In Yiddish, they always said Fafleitzung, and I would ask some of the Yiddish speakers, what exactly is a Fafleitzung? And a Fafleitzung, you know, the Fafleitzung, and then therefore the field went bad. Anyway, the point is that this is affecting everybody, then you can go and get a rate reduction. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, why does the Mishnah say in the Reisha Yovishamayan ain't a Menakaloi? And Daf Kufay, the Mishnah says if it's a Makas Medina, yes, Menakaloi. And therefore, Amar Rav Papa, the Yovish Nahar Zuta. We're not talking about that the main river that passed through the community dried out. We're talking about that there was some small tributary there, a brook, a stream, whatever, which was close to this person's field, where until now it was easy to go and get the water from the field. Rashi says it was an amas hamayim, there was some sort of irrigation ditch or canal which was connected to that river, and that's the reason why the choiker took this property. He says, I'm not going to have to schlep all the water like I used to do for the other fields, but unfortunately yobish narizuta, that irrigation source unfortunately dried out. The Omale says now the Machkir to the Choker, it's not the end of the world. Now what you'll have to do is you're going to have to take buckets and you're going to have to schlep the water from a farther source. Sorry you don't have the irrigation ditch, but you know, if you will, Mazlach Garam, this is not a community-wide thing, this is just this local issue with this particular property. So, you won't get the benefit of taking a deduction from the rate of chakiris. And now, Amar Papa, Hani Tarti Masnisa Kamaisa, the first two Mishnayos of our parak, that is the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, where we said, Hamakabo Sonim Mechaveri, Mokim Shinogu, Liktzer, Yitzer, Lakar, Yakar, Lachrish, Yachrish, Hakul Kamini Gamadina, as well as this Mishnah we just learned now, Hani Tarti Masnisa Kamaisa, Mishkachasla, Bein Bechakrinusa, Bein Bekablanusa. It's shayach both by chakranis, like we just said, a person is paying a fixed rate of 10 bushels a month. If the mayan dried out, the reisha says, eina menakalim chakuroi. The sefer says, if he said, this particular soda based ashlochen, this particular based ilan, then yovish in mind that he can get a benefit. So it says, imor, this is not only by chakranis, this is also bein be kablanis. First Mishnah and this Mishnah. By kablanis means that he was an oris. That again, he gets the benefit of the reduction, because of the fact that unfortunately, the well is not working anymore. There's no water source, etc.
That's so obvious.
One second. What you're saying, I'm sure, is that now Risa, since it's 50% or 30 or 33%, instead of it's prorated. If you're not going to make 1,000 bushels this year, you're only going to make 750 bushels this year because there's some sort of drought or blight or whatever it is. So then he can go and take, in the case of the second part of the mission, we said there, then he can go the 33% or the 50% will no longer be 50% of 1,000 bushels, it'll be of 750 bushels or 500 bushels, whatever. But the Gemara apparently is saying is that he can get even a better rate, that he can go and say, listen, I took this particular field in the Sefer. Why? Because it had that Mayan, because it had that Eitz. Now that it no longer has that, I no longer want to take just 25%, I want to take now 33%, or I want to get 40% or 50%. So he can renegotiate the amount of the proration or the sheer cropping arrangement that he had until now. However, in the forthcoming Mishnayos, then the Is Bekamlenusa, less Bechakrenusa, or the Is Bechakrenusa, less Bekamlenusa. Some Mishnayos will only be Chakronis, and some will only be Kablonis, only Arisus. And Rashi says, Mietchem, I will explain each one Bimkoima, which one is which. So Rashi is going to fill in the missing blanks, so to speak. Anyway, getting back to our Gemariets, Im Omoloi Chakor Lisoda Beser Shlochen Zeh, Freitimov Amai Leimalei, Shmo Bi Alma Amrilach. Miloi Tanya. Why can't he go and say that even though we specified in the Sefer, Beis HaShlochan Zeh, or Beis HaIlan Zu, why can't he go and say, I just sold you the name as opposed to a description of the property? What do you mean the name? Miloi Tanya, didn't we learn the Braisa? Now the Braisa gives you three examples of names that fields had, even though they were not really appropriate. For instance, I'm selling you a base kur offer. Base kur, as you all know, is 30 so'ah worth of offer of field. Even though the entire field is really not a base kur that produces 30 so'ah, it only produces lesach as a half a kur, 15 so'ah. Higioi, the sale is a good sale. Shlemocheloi elishma. Although he referred to it as a base kor offer, it really only had a lesech. But locally in the community, people still referred to that field over there as a base kor offer. Even though in terms of the actual length and width and produce, etc., it only produces half, but everybody calls it the base kor offer. And similarly, karmani moichelach, I'm selling you this karam, this vineyard, even though there are no vines, and there are no grapes, Higioi, if he bought it, he bought it. Shlein Mochalei Elishma, that's the name that it has in the community. Behu the mystery karm, it still has that name.
In other words, once upon a time, it had Geffen.
Oh, very good. So, Mr. Friedlander, who has your tzai today after his mother, Leah Shulam, is telling us, in all likelihood, how did they get these names? Because 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, it was a thriving vineyard, even though it's not a vineyard today. But people still think of it and still call it, oh, the karma, karma. Has there been any grapes there? Nah, no grapes for years and years. But nevertheless, people still call it the karam. And presumably based Kurafar, maybe this was originally a larger piece of property and then somebody subdivided it, but people still refer to that remaining piece as that's the base kor. And similarly, Pardis in Imoichalach. Pardis is an orchard, but specifically for pomegranates. Even though today there's not one pomegranate to be had there, Higioi, if he sold it and he bought it, finished. But has to have that in the community has that name Pais. Alma, what do I see from that price? Even though Zagzin and Tetzlucha, even though in the Mishnah it says, I'm not selling to you, but Chakor li, I want you to go and work in my field. Which field? The Soda Beis HaShlochem Zu. Or Soda Beis HaIlan Zeh. Maybe that's just the name that it has in the community. That's the Beis HaShlochem. That's the Beis HaIlan. How do you know that he meant that this gives you special rights just because of the fact that he mentioned Soda Beis HaShlochem and Soda Beis HaIlan? So Gemara gives two answers. Everything. Gemara Omeshmo Lekash Hadi Omele Machkir Lechoyker Hadi Omele Choyker Lemachkir. Depends who's addressing who. If the machkir says to the choyker, I want you to go and work in this saw the Beis HaShlochan, or this saw the Beis Ilan, it could very well be that he's just giving him the identity. He may have 5 or 10 different properties, and this is the one that he calls, that's the Soda Beis HaShlochan, or the Soda Beis HaIla. Maybe in the community it even has that name. So he's not really giving him the description to tell him, oh, you're Zoycha to have a piece of property that has its own internal resource, it has a well, a mayan, it has a spring, or that it's a Beis HaIla that has trees. It's just the name that everybody calls it. So therefore it would have no financial significance vis-a-vis our Mishnah. If the Choyker says to the Machker, oh, I want to go and be Choyker this field, the Beis HaShlochan field, this Beis HaIlan field, why is the Choyker going and saying that? The Choyker says, okay, fine, I'll take care of the field. Yeah, I'm taking it for a year. The fact that he mentions it in the negotiations or in the contract, it must be because he has a Bedavka, I saw the Beis HaShlochan, saw the Beis HaIlan, because it has its water, its source, and or because it has the Ilan. So you see that he has a Kpeda Dafke on those two items, and therefore that's what our Mishnah says. When he says in the Sefer, Zeh Mitzu, this particular Beis HaIlan, this Beis HaShlochan, it's not the Zeh Mitzu, it's the fact that he described it, Beis HaShlochan, Beis HaIlan. So you see that his Bedavke, his Mahalach HaMachshava, is I'm only giving you this amount of Chakiras because of these fringe benefits. If it doesn't have the benefits, I'm going to reduce. So that is the teretz to distinguish the Mishnah and the Braisa. Zokimar Omalei Machkilar. So the Gemara itself explains. Omalei Machkilar Soicher. You're welcome to join us. Omalei Machkilar Soicher. If the owner of the property says to the farmer that's working the property, he uses this expression about the Beis HaShlochan or the Beis HaIlan, then Shema Mi'alma, he just meant to describe it as, to identify it. Omele Chayke L'machir Kepeda, I dafka want this property, the Beis HaShlochan guy, I want the Beis HaIlan guy, because that's the one that I want, because it'll make my life easier. In the case of the Beis HaIlan, I'll get a fringe benefit, some additional payers. Okay, so that's a very nice teretz. It depends who is talking to whom. If the Machir is talking to the Choyker, and he mentions Beis HaShlochan, and he mentions Beis HaIlan, no significance, because he's just identifying it among his properties. But if the Choyker is saying it, Kepeda, I'm only taking these properties at this rate because of the benefit of the water source, or because I get the free pays. Ravina Amar, Idmini, Double Name, Machir, the Choyker. Now, both cases are talking about the Machir is speaking to the Choyker. Minik Omar, since he said, Zeh, by using the expression Zeh, this, it's presumably talking that they're both standing in the field. He says, yeah, I want you to be choyker this field, the field. Which field? The Beis HaShlochan Zeh, the Beis HaIlan Zu. Frey Timura, why does he have to go and repeat Beis HaShlochan or Beis HaIlan? If they're standing in it, he knows what we're talking about. We're not talking about something in Australia. We're talking about where you're standing Zeh, I want you to go and work in this property. So why did he add Beis HaShlochan or Beis HaIlan? Zok Timura, Beis HaShlochan Lama Leila Meimer. That you're going to agree to pay chakiras 10 bushels a month or whatever, that's dafka because it's currently and hopefully will continue to be a Beis HaShlochan with the benefit of a water source or the benefit of an additional tree. However, if in fact there's no water source or there's no tree, then we'll renegotiate the price if and when this were to occur. Yeah.
In Korbanos, when somebody says Harei Zu Ola, and the animal's lost or dies,
right,
no achrayas. Here, Beis HaShlochan, there seems to be achrayas. Why the difference?
It's not a question of achrayas.
Because there's a financial adjustment, because the machir, he has some achrayas. He can say, yes, when I rented it to you, it did have a, you know, you're too bad. Mm-hmm. Even though it happened, but at the time it did, and therefore too bad. Why is there, so to speak, a financial adjustment because of the achrayas of the choker? Whereas in the case of a korban, there is none.
We'll see, Mitchum, from the next Mishnah and the following Gemara, that when you have verbiage in contracts, you assume that each word that is there is to add some sort of relevance, not just because the lawyer wants to charge more money and he adds a few more words, but because each word has some import. Here, since the two are standing in the property, by the way, although the Mishnah says that they're standing begavah, the Meiri says lav dafka, they could be standing across the street, and he's pointing to it with his finger, or with a pointer, and he says, you see that property. Once we're talking about this property, that property, everybody knows which property we're talking about. Why did he have to add the words Beis HaShlochin or Beis HaIlan? It's a double portion. Ze, zu, that's what we're talking about. Mister, are you awake? Are you falling asleep? We're here on the property. This property! Do I have to say this property, which is exactly 20 by 30, which happens to be the corner of 91st Street and Western Avenue, as opposed to the property across the street? No, this property means this property. So the fact that he adds the magic words, Beis HaShlochin, or he adds the words, Beis HaIlan, means that I know why you want this property and why you're agreeing to this particular rate, because of the fact that it has this
premium quality.
Premium quality. That's not just this property, it's a this base Ashlachan property, it's a this base Elam property. So those extra words enticed the choker to do the work and to pay the rate that he's paying. But if in fact it's no longer going to be the base Ashlachan or no longer going to be the base Elam, then he has a right to renegotiate.
Excuse me, I'm missing something very simple.
Yes.
The Mishnah says, clearly, that's the choker, not the machir. How can Rabbeinu say it's the machir?
No, I think what you're saying is really, I think what you mean to say is the reverse. That the machir is saying to the choker, im amuloi, chakor li, I'm hiring you, and I'm allowing you to lease this property, chakor li, you will be my choker, so the base ilah. So the machir is speaking to the socher. But what I thought what you were going to ask is, well, what about according to the first pshat? The first pshat, the Gemara said, hod omle machir le socher, choker, hod the omle choker le machir. The Gemara said that if it's machir le choker, he doesn't really care, he's just giving it a name. Masha'enkin le gabi the choker to the machir, it's a kpeter. It's schwer because our Mishnah sounds like we're talking about that the machir is speaking to the choker. He's saying, chakorli, go and work this field and pay me the rate that a choker pays. So how can the Gemara say that our Mishnah is talking about kpeter, that the choker is speaking to the machir, it's really the machir speaking to the choker. So either you have to go and say, according to the first pshat in the Gemara, you have to amend the Mishnah slightly, or perhaps what you have to go and say is, im omar loy, if the choker said to the machir, chakorli, I'm willing to be your choker, to be a choker of this field, the Sada Beis Yishlochen, based on the following rate. If that would be a strained pshat in the Mishnah, pasha pshat, you have to say, according to the first teretz of the Gemara, that in fact it wasn't the machir speaking to the choker, but the choker is saying to the machir, allow me to be the machir of this field, which is a Beis Yishlochen or Beis Ilan, for the following rate, whatever they agree to in their agreement.
Or if you put a comma after choker, imam lo choker, comma, lisa the base hashlach.
Lisa the base hashlach. So only thing is,
you put a comma.
I hear you loud and clear, but the word chakor is
a way to parse the Mishnah.
Beautiful, but the word chakor is a verb, choker is the noun.
Okay.
Right? So, even according to you, you have to mix around the.
Did they have punctuation back then?
No.
No, they did not. Bear in mind, this is all Torah Shabbat Peh. So, Vinner Rav Ashi, well, first the Mishnah of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, helped by, assisted by Rav Nosson, and then Vinner Rav Ashi put down the Gemara, but since it's all Baal Peh, then there was no punctuation.
Until the art scroll, I don't think even the Sassinos had, the Sassinos don't have punctuation.
No.
Until the art scroll, I don't think I ever saw a punctuated Gemara.
Okay. Even the article doesn't punctuate the old.
Inside the translation, the elucidation.
Exactly. In the elucidation, right. On to the next Mishnah. Zuk the Mishnah. Hamekabel son of Mechavera, the Hoivira. The person took upon himself to be either the Oris or the Choker, Hoivira, and guess what happened? He didn't work in the field. He instead took a year off, and he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn in Kolel, and even though he had taken upon himself this field, not a nice thing to do, that's right, it's unethical. But that's what he did. So what are the financial consequences? Well, Yivira means he let it lie fallow. I'm just giving an example. He went to Israel, he could have gone to Australia, or maybe he's just sitting at home. But the fact of the matter is, He didn't work the field. Sha'am anoysa kamar uya lasis. Anoysa loy. What you have to do is you have to figure out how much, on average, is such a field produced. Presumably you'll do a five-year statistics, or maybe a community-wide statistics, and figure out how much this field would have, should have, could have produced. And anoysa loy. And now this mekabel has to give that amount to the owner, in terms of he was supposed to go and produce. He didn't produce. He had his financial liabilities. You have to give him whatever normally would be given under these circumstances. Shekach koisiv loy, because after all, this is what you write in the shtar. Em oiver v'loy avid. Oiver means I'm going to leave it bore. I'm going to leave it fallow. V'loy avid, I'm not going to work in the field. Hashal me'meitva, I'm going to go and pay you, but meitva like meitva, pay you a nice amount. Now, from here into the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us that all these words that you find in contracts and in agreements, they're not just things that you throw away. Even the boilerplate has significance. So Gemara says, Rav Meir, he doirish loshen hedjit. Rav Meir would darshan the hedjit words. What does it mean, hedjit? Hedjit, here says Rashi, means words that you find in documents which are not expressly legislated by Takanas Chachamim. It's just, this was the Minig HaMedina that they wrote these types of shtarais. So it doesn't have the significance of Chazal or the Sanhedrin or anything like that. Well, imagine this is what people have agreed to in their contracts, and each word has meaning.
He was a sofer.
He was a sofer, but I'm not sure that that's right. It's but fine, it's good. Great. So the mayor you doirish loshen hedjit. He signed the learned right. So the mayor you met im oivav le'avad hashalom ben meitva, like we just said, and therefore it has significance. And if you messed up and you didn't go and work the field, then you have to go and give the amount that it was ro'oi lasis. Now before we continue, l'choira, both the Mishnah, with this further explanation of Rav Meir in the Braisa, what is the chiddush over here? The person says, I am taking this field for the year, and I'm going to, Miyat Hashem, work in it, in im oivir v'lei avir, shalom b'meitva. No, of course he has a shalom b'meitva. So what is the Mishnah telling us? Shaman oisa kamaru uya lasis an oisa lai. Isn't that a tovah bosh? I mean, that's what he agreed to. If there was no such provision, maybe he could sleep on the job. But if it has this provision, of course he has to pay. So what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? And it may be doidish losh and hedjit. I mean, you and I read the document, we see it the same way. What's the big oisa chiddush? So Ramban says that there are two financial implications to what this person did by sleeping on the job and not working the field that year. What are the two financial implications? Number one, the value of the property. Meaning that all the other properties in town, Baruch Hashem, were sown and they were irrigated and they were fertilized and they're all producing pears. This one is just sitting here like a klutz doing nothing. So all the brokers and all the people in the town think maybe this property has a problem with it. Maybe it has boiler shichin ma'arais. Maybe there's some worm or some germ or something, and that's why it's not producing. Because of this potential speculation, or perhaps just the fact that it has not been worked, so the property has a depreciated value vis-a-vis all the other properties in the community. Especially if you're selling it for mushel harvest season, any other property in the town is worth now 10 or 20% more than it was worth 6 months ago, because not only are you going to get the benefit of the property, you're going to get all the peiros and all the fruits and the vegetables or tvua, I mean, depending, of course, what you write in your contract.
But sometimes leaving it fallow, it regenerates nutrients.
That's true. Our Gemara is not addressing that. The Ramban doesn't address that. Ramban is just saying that by the fact that he left it fallow and all the others are being produced and fertilized and all the rest, so then that could depreciate the value of the property. And therefore, it's very possible that you could touch the words im oivavli avir shalom b'meitva, I'll make up for any reduction in price as a result of the fact that I'm leaving it fallow. However, says Ramban, because it doesn't just say im oivir shalom b'meitva, it says im oivavli avir shalom b'meitva, that adds the other financial implication, which is that the mechzel shlish v'raviya that normally one would go and give to the original owner, it doesn't sound like our Mishnah would be a chakrona situation, because if they made up, you have to give me 10 bushels a month, come heaven or high water, so who cares what they produce or doesn't produce, it's like you have to go and give a check for your rent.
Rent
even
has
if,
to be paid.
Even if you're away from the apartment for 6 months, you still got to pay your monthly rent anyway. So you have to pay the chakranas. So our Mishnah would appear to be one of these oris situations. I can't go and give 50% of nothing, because 50% of nothing is nothing. So therefore you figure out how much this would normally produce. 1,000 bushels, if you give them 50%, you have to hand them over 500 bushels. So that's the reason why our Mishnah says, and that's why Remeis Doyish Loshen Hedyed, that not only do you have to give him whatever reduction there may be because of the fact that you didn't work in the field, you also have to go and give him the amount of the Arisa's percentage that you would normally have to go and give. So that's the Chiddush, and that's what Remeis is saying, Doyish Loshen Hedyed. Rabbi Yehuda Hayah Doyish Loshen Hedyed, Rabbi Yehuda also used to darshan, the sign of Yehuda Omer, or the maybe Korban Osher Al Ishtoi, V'chein kol korban v'korban shi'chayav shikach koisiv lach ra'is t'islach olay min kod mizdar. This is a provision that one writes in the Ksuba, not necessarily this standard, but if it is written in the Ksuba that the husband says to the, or the chosan says to the kala, I'm taking upon you, taking upon myself, not only future obligations of yours, but even achrayis t'islach olay min kod mizdar, even pre-existing obligations that pre-exist before our marriage, I take those upon myself. Now, what is he referring to? Could be he's referring to any type of promissory notes and loans that she owes, but it at least also includes, says our Gemara, any karbonos that she has to go and bring.
Chatois and Ashomois.
Oh, so we're going to speak about that in a moment. So initially, when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa, Oda may be carbon osher al ishtoi, it's referring to two particular kabanos, where there's a difference between a carbon osher or a carbon ani. Which, very good, very good. So we're talking about a carbon oil of the yoyred, and which oil of the yoyred are we talking about in particular? We're not talking about a chatas oil of the yoyred, but we're talking a mushal, a carbon leida, a yoldis, or a mitzay ras, where in each case the Torah says that if you happen to be an Ashira or an Osher, you bring a, obviously by your letters it would be more the Ashira, you'd go and bring a better carbon, which means there you have to go and bring a behemoth together with one oif, while it happens to be, if you happen to be an Aniya, you have to bring two oifs. You get a break. Same thing by Tsaras, also there's a break between Osher and Ani. So now what happens if he married a young lady who unfortunately comes from a poor family? If she were to go and bring those kabbalas on her own, she would bring the carbon ani or the carbon aniya and not usher. What happens if he happens to be Baruch Hashem from a wealthy family and now he takes upon himself the achrayis islach olayim in kadrastana, and now he has to go and bring the carbon asher and not the carbon ani? So that's the first part of Yehuda. Or the maybe carbon asher al ishto, even though she's poor, he took the achrayis, he's an asher, he has to bring a carbon asher. And the second part of the beauty is the chenkol karma karma, she chayeves. Chayeves means that she has a choyva as opposed to a neder or nedava. So what type of carbon would that be? So Rashi says, l'moshel, carbon if she was a zava, or if you bought, she had to bring a carbon osham, asham me'ilois, asham gzeilois, or a carbon chatos, those choyves that she had to bring, then the husband accepts all of those karbonis upon himself. Now, what is the Behuda Doirish Taimer, the Doirish Loshen Hedyed? Because all it says in the Brice, not the Brice, in the Ksuba is Achrayis Islach Olay Min Kod Mistana. So now, Rabbi Yehuda is really telling us two things. Number one, that this Achrayis is not only Bein Odom the Chaveroi, we're talking about loans and promissory notes, that type of Achrayis. No, I'm also talking about Karbonis, Bein Odom Lamokit. And number two, since I'm taking an olay, dislach olay, olay means in accordance with my financial status, and that's why I have to bring a carbon usher as opposed to a carbon usher. Yeah?
What happens if you didn't take achrayis, but she has this chiyuv karbonos?
And she's going to have to bring them herself.
She has to work beyond her quota and make money.
Anything future is his achrayis, but pre-existing is not his achrayis. And then she'll just have to.
So even though she's married, if she didn't take the responsibility, she can bring a korban on if she was poor.
Right.
Although she's married.
Even though she's married, now she's married to an oisha.
She's married to an oisha.
Exactly. Right. But
she still has the right to bring a korban on.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
That korma shikono ishta kono.
The other way around. Korma shikono ishta kono bal. So therefore,
with you.
Exactly.
So it seems that the Baal has automatic responsibility to give a korban.
He has a
shel oshir, even though he didn't take responsibility because they are connected now.
There's no question they're connected.
There's no status anymore of aliyah if she's not a single.
You're saying he acquires her liabilities as well as her assets.
What?
You're saying he acquires her liabilities when he marries her, as well as her assets.
Automatically. This is Ishtaki Gufay.
What Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is, whatever you said is correct, if the ksuba has these magic words, Achrayis Islach Olai Min Kodesh Tam. If it doesn't have these words, she is stuck with all of her pre-existing liabilities, she has to pay her choyvos, she has to go and bring her kabonis. It's not his responsibility, it's her responsibility. She has to do it. However, if he accepts it upon himself, then yes, he has to go and bring the kabbalah, and he has to bring carbon.
Her status doesn't change automatically.
It does not, exactly. It only changes contractually.
Contractually, okay.
So that's why each one is Do Yishlosh and Hedjit, the mayor, Rabbi Yehuda, and we go on to the next one.
Shilas Medish Bagdashav, is that a whole of the year as well?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes. Why, so it's B2A.
So why is it?
What were you referring to? I'm sorry?
Shilas Medish Bagdashav.
Tumas Mikshas Rasha, that's one of the three that you bring in Korban Olivier.
Right,
correct.
So why isn't it mentioned here?
Well, it's mentioned in the second half. And then the Korban Shu Chayeves, so Rashi Shehi Chayeves is Rashi, that includes a Korban Chatzas. So Chatzas would be both a Chatzas Kavua and a Chatzas Olivier.
Okay.
Now, Hilazokin Hayyadurish Loshin Hedjit. Now, this Loshin Hedjit, this has profound halachic ramifications, as you will see. Desanya, Anshi Alexandria Hayyimakachinus and Shesayan. The people that lived in Alexandria, they would mekadesh the wives, just like made erusin, and a month later or a year later they had the nisuin. B'shas nisosim chupa, at the time of the chupa nisuin, boinachirim v'choit v'noisam, there are a bunch of reshuim, shkutzim, that would come and chap the women and live with them prior to nisosim l'chupa.
Wow.
And unfortunately, some of them, many of them may have become pregnant, and they had nevach children. So, that's what they want to tell us. They want to say that all these kids nevach are mamzerim, because after all, they are married, they're Ashes.
They have kedushin.
They have the ring and all the rest. Somebody lived with them Ashes ish, so they should go and get, of course, if we're in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, the time of the Sanhedrin, we'd go and give all of these people skila for going and living with an Ara Murasa. We can't do that, but at least it's Shonah Mazayim, Rahman Litzlan. Amalehen Hilazokin, Hilazokin said, I have a way out. Let's see the ksubas of the mothers. Now it's important to add, says Rashi, the ksubas in Alexandria were written at the time of the Erisin, not at the time of the Nisuin. Remember back in Masechtas Ksubas, it was standard policy that they had it at the time of Nisuin. Some people, if they wanted to be generous, they wanted to be nice, they made it from the times of the Ayerson, but that apparently was not the common practice, at least not universally, perhaps in certain communities. So here, the Ksuvas Imchum, at the time of the Ayerson, they wrote a Ksuva. And Heviu, like Ksuvas Iman, they talk about the Ksuva, or Matsu Shikosu Behen, and it says, listen to these words, L'kishitikonsi l'chuppah, at the time of the Knesset's chuppah, havali li'insu, then you will become my wife. What do you mean, then I'm going to become a wife? You're getting a ring right now. You're getting a kesef or shtar. He's being mekadesh. Yeah, but there was a tanai in the kesef or the shtar. It's as if under the chuppah, hariat mekudesh eslib etabasu, but not at this moment. Only when we're eventually going to have relations. They're under the chuppah now, so it's a bit difficult to say until we get to the chuppah, because they're under the chuppah.
But I thought it meant before they got there.
No, 100%. So I'm just trying to give you a parallel to what it would mean today. What it meant at that time was, on Rish Chodesh Shvat, they had their Erisin. And they said, Yetz Hashem, and a year from now, we're going to have the Nisuin. But in the ksuba that he gave her at that time, on Rish Chodesh Shvat, she says, when Yetz Hashem, we're going to have our Nisuin under the chuppah, then you are going to be my full-fledged wife.
Under the Abbas Koyhel, under the circumstances that we're seeing now, if she was Meroreses, she's not Chayev Sreifa.
Of course not, it was against her will.
Let's get back to that in a moment.
If it's with her will.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I want to understand the validity of that Erusin. between Edison and Nisuin in case this night comes along, and she decides to live with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She decides to live with
somebody else. I hear you loud and clear. So the
Gemara.
Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'loy osu b'nei mamzerim." They did not make the mamzerim. What's the reason why? Because of the fact that they put in this tanai. So if you look at the Rashi, the Kishin Tonsi l'chupa, says Rashi, the kedushin al manas kain. V'loy cholu kedushin ba. The kedushin wasn't chal after the konas l'chupa. So even though everybody thought of her as being an Eishes Ish, she really wasn't an Eishes Ish. The person who lived with her is a shaygit, he's a no goodnik, and the child that will be born will be a pogum because it won't be based on chuppah kedushin. But a child is not going to be a mamzer. Exactly. So if in fact since Hilazokin paskin that these words have major import, that's why he was doidish the nawi tama, but the actual words of the Hedged in the Hedged. He paskin did not mamzerim, therefore they were not married. So getting back to your example of a baskoin who lives with somebody,
she would not be
chayv streifa, not be chayv chenik, she would not be chayv skila, mechuyev gunish. That's that you're saying that a baskoin who is an arusa gets streifa is not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikis whether she gets streifa only when she is in the suah, only when she's an arusa, or both. Is a machloikis tanoam amiroim about that, but again, that's not our sugya. You're right; it does say in the third of the baskoin gets sreifa, but is a machloikis where the baskoin gets sreifa when she was an arusa and she was mazana, or when she was in suah and was mazana, or possibly both of them.
Sanhedrin's coming up soon.
Yes, and Yetzer Shem, we're going to get to that soon. Okay, so that's another doyish. Rabbi Shuman Korcho, your doyish loshen hedrin. The sign. Rabbi Shuman Korcho, imer hamaldas chaveroi lo yimash chenu liyimash. So Rashi explains a loive who was not able to go and pay his choiv on time. The shliach bezin came in and took away a mashkoin, and that mashkoin he gave to the malva. As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the malva didn't hold on to the mashkin. He was willing to give it back to the loive to use until the loive is able to go and pay back the choiv. But he gave him a mashkin. Now says Rabbi Shuben Karcha, make sure that the mashkin that the loyve gives should be worth the value of the loan and not more than the value of the loan. You loyve, be meticulous and careful, make sure that your mashkin is, if the loan was $100, that the mashkin should be worth $100, but not worth $150 or $200. Obviously the malva will be delighted that the mashkin is worth more, but that's going to be to your peril. Why? Shekach koisev loy. When the malva returns the mashkin to the loyve, so the loyve can continue using it for the next 6 months or whatever they agree to, he writes in the shtar, the loyve writes in the shtar, shekach koisev loy, tashlumta the isloch alai, the tashlumen that you have on me, in other words, the chiyuv tashlumen that I have to go and pay on the loan which I have not paid yet, kol kabel dichi, all of that I'm a kabbal on myself in this mashkin for you. So therefore what happens now is that this mashkin now becomes the equivalent, the monetary equivalent of the amount of the loan. So even though the loan was only $100, but he's saying, the ganze tashlumta, that's going to be from this mashkin. And therefore he's interpreting time at the cost of lehachi. It's only because he wrote those magic words. Ha'i loy kasav lehachi, loy kanya. So now the Gemara is introducing a kasha. But the point of Rabbi Shuben Karcha is, because you use these words, Tashum to Islach Alai, Kol Kabel Dichi, that means the whole mashkin is now going to be the payment for the loan, and therefore make sure, Loive, don't overpay by giving a very valuable mashkin, give a more restrained mashkin, which is worth the amount of the loan, but not more. Freitimar, let me ask you a kasha. Time and cost of lehachi. It's not because he wrote these magic words. Perhaps he wouldn't be koina at all. So now the Gemara is going off a little bit and asking a separate question. Don't we have a rule that if chas v'sholom a person passes away and he leaves over yorshim, that the yorshim's metaltalin are no longer mishubed lebal choiv, metaltel and diyasmi le mishtabdi lebal choiv. The only things that are mishubed lebal choiv is karka. So now the Gemara is saying is, what happens if the malva returns the mashkin to the loiva, and now nebuch the loiva passes away, and the kindlach are there, and they're holding on to that mashkin. It sounds like from our Gemara that you'd be able to go and take the malva, would be able to go and take that mashkin back. Even though the standard rule is metatli yasmi lo mishtabli lo balchay, so frank timor time and because of lahachi, it's only because the loiva wrote these words the tashlumta ha ilikar because of lahachi. What happens if he didn't write these words? So it sounds like loikanya, then the malva wouldn't even be able to go and attach this mashkin anymore. It's just going to blend in with all of the other metatlin that the yorshim own, and therefore he wouldn't be able to collect from it. But it's not true. V'yamar b'yoychanan mishkenoi, he gave him a mashkin. V'heishiv lo yamashkin, the malva returned the mashkin to him. Umeis, and the loiva passed away. Shoimtoi, the malva is allowed to go and schlep it back mi'al gabi banav, from the children. Ah, so what do I see from this? That even without the writing of these fancy words, tashlumta, the islach alai, kol kabodichi, the malva has a right to go and schlep back the mashkin. So what do I need these words for? Says Yimara Ahani Ksiva Ligiroin. The Ksiva helps for Giroin. What means it helps for Giroin? What happens if in fact the mashkin turns out to be worth less than the Chayiv? Until now we were worried about that the mashkin was worth more than the Chayiv. What happens if the mashkin is worth less than the Chayiv? Then he'd be able to go and collect whatever is remaining in addition to the mashkin. See, if you look at the top Rashi, Hani Ksiva Ligiroin, Hashtar Moil, Lifchois Damav, if the Damim are worthless, Im Yifchasu Dmei HaMashkin, Shinishtame Boya Leiva, since the Malva gave the Mashkin back to Leiva, the Leiva continues using it, maybe it's gotten worn and it's worth less than it was at one time. Yifram Shar Nechosav Kichola Kosav Bishtar, then you have to go and pay whatever the Shtar is. So, in the sense, the Malva has the benefit of both the, by a coin,
you
flip a coin.
Heads you win, tails you lose.
Exactly. Heads I win, tails you lose. So I get both the heads and the... So therefore we're telling him, when you put in these words, it has a double whammy effect. Effect number one is that if it's worth more than the amount of the choyf, I'm sorry, you're going to lose the entire mashkin. Therefore be careful that the choyf should not be worth, that the mashkin should not be worth more than the choyf, so that you, loiva, don't lose out. But when the malva returns it to you and allows you to use it, if as a result of the wear and tear, now it's worth less than the original amount of the choyv, guess what? You're going to have to, as a result of these words of the tashlumta, you're going to have to make up for the difference.
The yorshim or whatever.
Yeah, well, the yorshim veselnish, because the yorshim, we have the standard rule, metat liyasmi lemishtab lemachoyv, but you could go and collect presumably the excess or the difference from either karkois, or this part is now talking...
The state is meshubet, the state has to pay.
Exactly. Or
karkois.
And also could be talking about, in this case, where the loiva is still alive, the loiva has to make up for it, even though he gave him this mashkin, shkoyech, but since you wore and tore it, wear and tear, you have to go and make up for any differential. Now, what is the chashivas, why the Gemara goes through all these Dorish, Lush, and Hedges, going through each one of them, the Gemara is telling us the chiddush involved. But there's interesting toisus here back on Kif Dal and Amid Aleph in Hayyadari Shloshan Hejid. Says the toisus in the middle of the Amid, Hayyadari Shloshan Hejid, Lashoinish Loitiknu Chacham Lichtoiv, El Hedyoitis Horgulu Kaisvan. This is not Tukonis Chazal, the Hedyoitis, that's already part of the standard boilerplate in the contracts.
Hayyadari Security.
Exactly. Vafilu Loikosav, says toisus. Even if you have a situation of Achrayis Toisoif, they left out the clause number 29 in the 28th page contract, or whatever it is, kilo nichtav, even if you didn't write it, it's as if it's written, it's implicit. Didavke kishakosav, mahi yadoyrish. I don't understand all these drushes, the Moshe Rameir in the Mishnah, he says, what's the chiddush over here? Pshita sheyesh lo lekayim kamoshe hisna, dolavas machti. None of these are smachti, these are things which are written in the contract. As a shteg. So therefore, Toysa says that the chiddush is, even if it doesn't say it, it's implicit in all of these cases. I don't know about the case of the ksuba, if they didn't write it. Apparently, some ksubas they didn't, sometimes they didn't. But anyway, but in general, in these contractual agreements where these provisions were standard, even if they left it out, that's kind of the minik hamedina, minik of the community, and that's the minik hedjoit, and that's why it's Dorish Loshen Hedjoit, the chashivas of these clauses. But Rabbi Yossi, the Dorish Loshen Hedjoit, the sign you learn in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a mokim shenoagul lasis ksuba milva, goiv milva, lichbal goiv mechza. Now this is a very unusual Gemara, if you will, that they're very often at a when they wrote ksubas, they wanted people to really think that this is a gewaldige shidduch. What would they do? They would go and write in the amount of the nadin in the ksuba, and of course today we read it out at the time of the chuppah. We give our kibbutz, someone go and write out the ksuba. All the ksubas today are all standard terminology. You don't find any negotiated terms. Now, in the times of Chazal, they did have negotiated terms. And very often to entice the chosin to go and marry the kala, or for the audience that's listening to the person who's reading the ksuba, that they should be impressed with the shidduch, they would sometimes go and double the amount of the actual nadin. So the actual nadin that the father of the kala is giving to the chosin was lamushal, just to throw out a number, $1 million, they would write in the ksuba, $2 million. Wow, $2 million? Can you imagine all the ladies would say, oh, you see, psh, wow, what a fantastic shidduch, giving $2 million. But really it was only $1 million. So there were certain mekoymis that they wrote the ksuba the way it was, in other words, no additions, and some places where they were magzim and kofel, and they wrote double. But everybody knew that, not sure what impression it made by doubling it, if everybody knew that it's doubled. So apparently some people were, some people weren't. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a mokin in those places, shenoagul lasis ksuba milva. When we say milva, meaning that it was the exact amount of the ksuba, we didn't add, we didn't subtract, the amount of the nadin is what's specified in the shtar, goyve milva. Then the chosin can go and collect that nadin from his shver. In other words, apparently they didn't pay the nadin in advance, he paid it over time, or he paid it after the chuppah, or whatever. So now the chosin goes to his shver and says, you promised me a nadin, it's in the ksuba, you gotta pay. So he's goyve milva, he's goyve that amount. But in those places where they're noyig lichboil, where they would go and write double the amount, then goyve mechza. When the chosin wants to get paid, he only is going to get half of whatever it says in the ksuba, because the minhag was to double it. Similarly, narbeloi govu tiltza. In Narbeloi, they didn't have the double rule, they had the triple rule, which means that if the nadin was $1 million, they would write into the ksuba $3 million, and now when the chosin wants to go and get from Ishver, he's only going to get $1 million, not two and not three. Mereimer, megvina mishvacha. Mereimer would also go and give the shvacha. Shvacha means that if they wrote a larger amount, like Rashi says, they would kofel the amount, again, he would allow for collecting half of the amount. Actually, Rashi says, magvi shvacha, Rashi about a quarter down, kol masho ye koisev ve koifel, ho ye goive me avi habas. Whatever they wrote in the shtar, even if it was double, they would go, and he would allow for the collection of the larger amount, which of course was very strange. After all, everybody knows you're being koifel. How are you collecting the whole amount? You should only go and get the half amount, like we just said. So going back to the Gemara, fifth line from the top, omli revinler mareimar. Remember, it was Mareimer that Magvi Nami Shvachi allowed to go and get the kefil, the double amount. So Ravina said to Mareimer, but Tanya will learn the Braisa. Lichbal, goyve mechza. And you're being koifel and goyve the entire kefil. You're only entitled to, the chos is only entitled to half. So Timora said back Mareimer to Ravina, loikasha to koniminei, hodle koniminei. It's lentzach if there was a kinyan. In other words, if you wrote in the shtar the kefil, and you didn't make a special kinyan sudur, you didn't go and pick up the handkerchief or the pen or whatever they do at the time of the chuppah, then you tak only get the half, you go to the mechza. However, if to solidify the kefil that's written in the shtar, he said,
it was a kinyan.
It was a kinyan.
Underline and say, I mean it.
Oh, exactly. With that underlining and say, I mean it, then he is kanimine, tak can collect even the kefil. So this is the teretz that Mareima gave to Ravina. So now that Ravina heard that, now he implemented that himself. Ravina Mashbach, because of Lebrate, he himself, when he married off his daughter, also wrote Kefil inside the Shtar. Omrulei, so the Mechutanim say, Nikni Minei, no, Let's go and not only make a toast and drink some champagne, but also let's pick up a suda and make a kinyan. So Amar Lahu, he said to them, Rabbi, he said, one second. I'm going to tell you what Maremer told me. If you want to dafka make a kinyan, that's fine. But then we're going to reduce the amount in the ksuba to the real amount. We're not going to double it. If you want to go and double the amount, then we're not going to make a kinyan because I don't want to be hit and having to pay double. Good, so it makes sense. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Gavra, the Omulahu Havulu Arba Meya Zuzi Labrati Biksuvasa. This is how Gavra, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but Rashi tells us, was Nebuch Ishchimra. And he was about to pass on, and the Chasam is going to be in a day or two or three, and he says to the assembled family and friends, Havulu Arba Meya Zuzi Labrati Biksuvasa. Go and give her 400 in the Ksuba. So now the question is, what does that mean, 400 in the Ksuba? Sholech Ravacha Bered Ravavi Lakami Ravashi Arba Meya the Inun Tamni Meya. Does he mean to say, give from the estate 400 and therefore write into the Ksuba 800 because that was a mokim that they were kofel, or did he mean Arba Meya Zuzi write into the shtar in the Ksuba after the Holy said the Ksuba, so write into the Ksuba 400 the Inun Masa, which is really only 200 because he's already doubling when he said write in 400. So what did he mean?
200 was the standard.
200
is the standard.
Right. So now the question is, when he said give her 400, did he mean give her the standard of 200, but just double it?
Or was he referring to the exaggerated amount?
Exactly. So Omar Avashi, Chazinan, let's go and see. What were the precise words that he used? If he says give her means give her 400 and write into the Ksuvah the Inan Tamameh, which is 800, because we're being kaifa. But if he didn't say Havula, he said Ksoivula Arameyazusi, write for her in the Ksuba the 400, the Inan Masan. What he means to say is give the standard amount of the Masan, like you said, and write into the Shtar 400. So it depends on the Lashon. You'll notice the Gemara started off with Gavri, he said Havula Biksuvasa, so presumably the Psak is, since he said Havula, give her actually 400, but write in the Shtar 800, like the first Tzad. Ikadiyami, there was another version, Omer Avashi, Chazina. Iomar liksuvasa arbeya mezuzi the inan tamni meya. The Omar biksuvasa arbeya mezuzi the inan masan. In other words, it depends on the specific terminology. You say liksuvasa. So Rashi says, if he said the kuvasa means liguvaina kamar, he means to be able to collect on the ksuba. The ksuba obligation, he said, is 400, and therefore, if the ksuba obligation is 400, you write in 800. But if he said biksuvasa, he meant that's what you write in the shtar. Soiv, right in the Sefer, 400, which means the Inan Masan to go give the standard man 200, like you said. So it's a nice teretz. We want Abulahi Ablamaisa. We do not follow this teretz. Leishna the Amad Liksuvasa, Leishna Ma Biksuvasa, Arbeya Miyazuzi, the Inan Masan, Adi Omar Havulu Stama. In all cases, when you would have such a situation where he said, give her 400, whether it means Liksuvasa or Biksuvasa, it would mean Arba Meya Zuzi the Inan Masan, the standard amount of the 200, he's saying, just double it. Adi Omalagula Sam, unless he says, he doesn't use the word Ksuvas, he just says, Havula, give her 400. Give her 400, since he didn't mention Ksuba, that means he meant Daka 400. Therefore, right in the Ksuba, the 800. Okay, who gave the Kibbal Arame Chavre? He was Makabel, again, Makabel meaning in the form of Arisus or Hakirus, and Omar, Imavruna Lach, Lach. If I'm going to leave it moivir, meaning I'm going to leave it fallow, I'm not going to work in the field, himnalach alpha zuzi, I'm going to give you 1,000 zuzi. Now, the Gemara is going to say in a moment that that was a very exaggerated amount. Apparently, the whole field that you would produce for the year would be twice 100 zuzi. And he's saying, if I leave it fallow, I'm going to give you 1,000. Sorry?
I'll give you $1,000,000.
$1,000,000, good. See, himnalach alva zuzi. So guess what? Oivir tilsa. He wasn't leave the entire field fallow, but only worked in 2/3, and 1/3 he left fallow. So Amrin Erdoisa, Erdoisa, Nudina, Hudi, Yarvlei, Klas, Meu, Tlosin, Tlosin, Betilza. He has to go and pay 333 1/3, because that's 1/3 of 1,000. Rov Omar Smachti, I didn't really mean it when he said 1,000. That's an exaggerated amount. He said, of course I'm going to work the field. I'll give you $1,000,000 if I don't work the field. So therefore you cannot really go and nail him on the million. He doesn't have to pay the 333 1/3. How much would you have to pay? Whatever, like the Mishnah said, Shaman, what would be the normal amount? Here it's very easy to shop. You see how much.
Two-thirds done, so you extrapolated.
Exactly.
He had a 50%, that's what he owes.
Exactly.
That's what he'll produce.
Exactly right. This is 50% of Bar Umalagab. 50% of two-thirds, which means one out of the two-thirds. Okay. Ularava Maishna Bihasa. Now, notice Neherdoi Paskin one way, and Rava said, Esmachti, I disagree with you. Ularava Maishna Bihasa. Now, why is it different than our mission? It says, Imoivav Le'avid Ashalm B'meitva. You got to go and pay B'meitva. Says Imar, our mission is talking about a normal situation. He says, Ashalom b'meitva. Meitva doesn't mean I'm going to pay 1,000 or 1,000,000. It just means we'll pay whatever the going rate is in terms of the produce in the county, in the community, whatever he's got to go and pay.
Meitav is a lesson of like Nezek. Meitav's maybe it's a today, Meitav Karma Yishalim.
I think over here just means I'm going to pay you the best. Okay, the best. Okay. Not lav davke idius and vainness is iburius. I'm going to pay you in full.
Okay.
So therefore, so the more, what's in full? You figure out how much everybody else produced, how much he should have produced. Okay, so the more says you can't compare one to the other. That's an asmachta. Our mission is not talking about asmachta. Hahu gavra. Now, the next gemara, well, we'll see another two gemaras now. Hahu gavra, the kabul ara the shimshimi. He agreed to go and plant poppy seeds or sesame seeds, and Zora Chiti, and instead he planted Chitim. Now Rashi tells us that Shumshimi are worth much more than Chitim in the open market, so when you go and plant Shumshimi, you're expecting to make a lot of money. On the other hand, Shumshimi go and ruin the property in terms of taking away the nutrients and the minerals that you have in the property.
They exhaust them more.
Exhausted more. So next year you're going to have to add tons of fertilizer and tons of new nutrients and minerals. Maybe you have to leave the property fallow for a year or two till it regenerates all of those nutrients that it's losing. So there's a mal and a chasar, like almost everything in life. The mal, of course, is you're going to make a much better profit this year, shum shumi over chiti, but the long-term effects of the property, or maybe even the short-term effects, are not ideal, because the shum shumi is going to sap away a lot of the strength. So he agreed, poppy seeds, some sesame seeds. So Rechitin said he put in the chitim. And guess what? Miracle of miracles, av the chitim kishum shemi. That year, the amount of chitim that he produced from that field added up to the total that you could have expected if he had planted it with the sesame seeds.
In terms of monetary profits?
It was exactly the same.
Income was the same.
And not the much lesser amount that one would have anticipated, unless the chitim went up to the price of the shumshimi, and therefore it was a bonanza. So sober of kahana lemeima menaki lekach shodiara. Now we should go back to the owner of the property and say, you agreed for shumshimi, instead you got the bonanza of chitim instead of shumshimi, and you got another fringe benefit that you didn't lose out kach shodiara. You should go and take a discount on the amount that you are going to receive from the farmer. Why? Because of the fact you got the same level of profits that you negotiated for, and Baruch Hashem, you didn't lose all those nutrients from the property. People have an expression. What does that mean? Of course, everybody realizes that there is an advantage of getting more money. There's a disadvantage that the property is worth less. I'm willing to accept the burden upon me of the depleted ground that no longer has the same amount of nutrients that all the other grounds have, but I don't want to take a depletion in the amount of income that I receive. Meaning that the person that owned the field, he needed the income of the shumshimi for the year. Why? To support his family, to support himself. People were not multimillionaires at the time. People, most of them were struggling, and therefore he needs those extra funds to go and say, I'm going to take off 10% or 20% from your income because you've benefited that the land has not been depleted of its nutrients. That'll be next year's problem. This year's problem is to support my family. I need every penny. Please don't discount any monies that I was supposed to receive. And therefore, Ravashi said, don't take off any money because of the benefit to the land.
The extra produce that the land did. So it doesn't say that the price of wheat went up to the price of shimshimi.
Yeah.
It said that it produced so much wheat. Didn't that also have a proportionate depletion? Because that extra wheat didn't come.
Then we wouldn't be even talking about it.
Okay.
It might even have been that it didn't produce more wheat, but maybe just throughout the rest of the community, the chitim produce the crop was much reduced.
And so yeah, maybe, it ends because of a scarcity.
Exactly. So maybe that was the reason. Maybe the imports couldn't come in because the Arabs closed off all the shipping lanes. Whatever it is, Baruch Hashem, they made a lot of money on the chitim that year.
Brachas about the chassid who sleeps by the cemetery, mm-hmm. and he hears the ruchos talking, and they say there's going to be a wind blast, right. So he plants later, and then everyone's crop is destroyed, and he cashes in. So.
Exactly right. However, now we have a similar story: the kabul ara l'shem shemi again for sesame, zora chiti, and of the chiti tveim and shem shemi. Wow. Really a bonanza. The chitim were now better this year than the shumshim in terms of the income. So So now the owner of the property should have to go and pay him the differential between what he expected to earn on the shumshim and what he actually earned on the chitim. Well, the chitim he earned 10% more, 20% more than the shumshim.
Was this chakiris or is kaplanis? Because if it's kaplanis, it doesn't matter. He gets prorated. And if it's chakiris, it's set. So what's the situation here?
It sounds like it was a chakiris situation.
Okay.
And that he's saying, yes, he agreed to go and give you 100 bushels of the shumshimi for the year.
Or cash equivalent.
Yeah, exactly. And instead of doing that, have a good yom tov. Thank you very much.
Shai, tomorrow 9:15, right?
Good. So he told him, instead of let's say it was a chakiris, you should have given him 100 bushels, so 200 bushels, and now he's saying
of shumshimi, right.
And now he's giving you chiti, which is worth more. So you should go and give him a discount and give him back some of the differential between the chiti and the shumshimi. Obviously, this person must be.
Why the Gemara doesn't assume they should divide the profit instead of everything going to the?
And for the Gemara, Amle Ravachim Idifte Ravina Atahu Ashbach Ara Loy Ashbacha. It's taka true that this fellow, the farmer who worked the field, did a great job. And Baruch Hashem, he was smart, he had good luck, he had good mazel. Tremendous Yad Hashmai, that his chitim were worth more than the shumshimi. But after all, this was not in a vacuum. The chitim didn't grow in mid-air. They grew out from the property. Who does the property belong to?
The
Balabos. The Balasodas. The Balasodas also shares in the profit. That was your question.
But it's the Gemara says either it goes to one or the other. Mm-hmm. That Gemara doesn't mention sharing.
But that's Gemara's Teretz. Gemara says it. Since he taka put in the sweat equity, he put in the capital equity, you know, each one did his job.
Yeah.
He sweated in the field. He was the one that gave him the fields to work with. So they both share now in this new bonanza, the Baruch Hashem, the bonus, that the chitim were worth more than the shumshimi. Zokti Gemara, Vaita Aminer Doi. Now the Gemara goes off on a tangent from Hamakabal Sodom Mechaveh, where you go back to Ezeo Neshech for a few lines, to the famous Iska. Aminer Doi, Hai Iska, Palga Milva, Upalga Bikon. When you have one person giving the capital to the other person, for instance, to the Chendani, to go and invest and to go and sell, then they go and split the profits. So it's as if half of it is a Havon and half of it is a Bikodoin, like we learned back in his own Eshek. So now, Ovid Rabbana Milza, Denichale Leleva, Nichale Lemalva. By saying that half is a Malva and half is a Bikodoin, that's a benefit for both the Malva and the Leleva. Each one takes half of the Achrayas, each one takes half of the profit, etc., etc. Now, half of the profit is not so simple. You remember back in his own Eshek that we said, well, if he's taking 50% of the Achrayas, then, or the other way around, if he's taking 50% of the profit, then he should take 60% of the achrayus. Otherwise, it would be a potential ribbis situation, because he's giving him money now, and saying 6 months from now, give me back the money, but give me also the profit. So, nothing wrong with giving profits, but the problem is, if half of it happens to be a milva, then you're working for free on the milva portion. So on that, he has to go, and that's why the amount of the achrayus and the amount of the profit are not the same. So if this is 50%, that's 2/3, and if this is 50%, that's 60%. In other words, they have to go and divide. And that's going to be tomorrow's Gemara in Yetzer Shem. But in the meantime, all we have to know is that they made this type of iska between them. Now that the Chum said that money that was given is Palgan Milva, if the Chenveni, the person who's taking the money to go and invest and to produce profits for the enterprise, if he decides to take some of that money and to buy with it beer and to go and drink one night and have a nice party, he's allowed to, because Palgi is Milva. That's what Ner Doi said. Rav Amar Lahachi Karli Iska, the reason why this is not called a loan, this is called an Iska. Iska means we're engaging in an enterprise, in a project, and an investment. I gave you this money to go and drink it up one night in the bar. I gave it to you to go and invest and find good investments. What happens if this person, the chenveni, that took the money, if he died, so any money that's left over or any schor that he bought is going to be metaltlin and won't be meshubid to the person, the investor. Good. The capital person. That's why it has the name Iska. It's not a loan. This is a joint enterprise. A shutfis, a business, a partnership. This is not metaltan that belongs to the original loiva, the original chenveni, or to the estate. This is like a separate corporation, a separate LLC on its own, and therefore he would be able to go and collect after all. Now the question is, what does this have to do with our Gemara?
Right.
It says, because the prior Gemara, when we talked about the case of
the Choker and the Koblin,
and what did it say? What happens if a person said that if I'm going to be Oiver, I'm going to go and pay $1,000. And then he was Moiver a third. And the Nerdoi said, he gets 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. So Rava threw out the Nerdoi's psak. Here too, what had the Nerdoi said? On the fifth line, hi Yomer Nedoy, hi Iska Palga Milva Palga Pikadin. Once again, Robert dismissed that. He said, nah, Nedoy, you don't know what you're talking about. The reason why we call it an Iska is that you cannot drink the Sheikhar, as well as so that you cannot leave Metalton Eitzel Banov. It's a separate corporation, a separate investment, a separate enterprise, and you can't go and drink on the job. So, bottom line is, both cases, it's Robert dismissing what Nedoy had previously Paskin. The previous case was about the Asmacht and the Oivir, and here this case is the Gabi, the Iska. Stop of here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a good Yom Tov, one and all.